Hello and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I am joined by the Leonardo da Vinci, the Picasso, the Salvador Dali.
The four-year-old kid.
With a dog.
Oh, you can hear them.
Yeah, it's Conrad.
It's me.
Conrad.
Hello again.
Hello.
Should I tell the dogs to shut up?
I don't know, will they? Or will they just bark louder because they hate you?
They'll probably try and bite me. And
oh, a live biting on air? Will you yell and go, ah, it's bitten my butt?
Just excuse me 1 minute. It was the postman.
The postman? Yes. Did he bring any presents?
I think he did. Shall I go and get them?
Are they nice presents?
I'll go and find out. Hold on.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what the Conrad's presents are. Of course, I'm making the assumption that he can find his way back.
I'm back again.
Oh, he's back. What have you got?
Live unwrapping.
It's always good.
Oh, I have sharp implements in my hand.
What sort of sharp implements?
A scalpel.
Yeah?
Yeah. Aye! Stabbed myself live on it.
Oh, I thought you just had one less finger now.
Oh, it's one of these. They put all the brown tape on it and makes it. It's an envelope where they. Jiffy bag.
Oh. This is exciting, isn't it, listener?
God Slayer?
Okay, it wasn't that exciting.
Oh, look at this.
I can't.
The Bale Scorch Cyclops.
Oh, that. Haven't you been waiting for that for weeks?
No, I only ordered it last week.
Okay.
I thought, Well, apart from, it would go nicely in my Bainbridge list, I thought, that might work in a... what's the Greek gods thing called? Not the Greek gods. The gods rule set.
I don't know. Which one did
of
you buy?
Gods and Mortals, that's one.
That's the Osprey one, isn't it? We should talk about that at some point.
We should do,
because
yeah.
I bought the other Greek gods type rule set.
Which one's that?
Of Myth and Magic. It's the 7TV, one based on the 7TV rules.
Oh.
But it's all about... it's all based on, you know, Harryhausen movies and stuff. So Seventh Voyage of Sinbad and things like that.
I didn't realise they'd put something out like that.
Yeah, no. There's two rule books and a PDF as well. Of the new 7TV stuff. So it's quite nice.
I might have a look at that, but I might not.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So, we weren't going to supposed to talk about your live unboxing or historical Greek with a bit of giants thrown in rule set at all.
Or open combat, because you could use it for that as well.
Oh, could use it for open combat. Who I actually met Carl from open combat the other day.
Oh, wow.
He popped into the Malifaux Masters that I was running to have a chat with Lee and I about various bits and pieces.
Oh, cool.
So we got to chat with him and stuff. And I've not met him before, so that was very nice.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Right. So what were we supposed to be talking about? Rather than this is my post.
We were going to talk about the fact that I'd been on an airbrushing class.
That's right. See, it was so long ago when we decided on the topic for this episode, I'd forgotten.
So I saw a tweet by one of the guys who follows me, Grant, A. I don't know what his real name is. I'm guessing it's Grant something.
A.
Yeah. And he tweeted a picture of a model that he'd airbrushed, and he'd done this whilst on an airbrushing course. And I've been toying with the idea of trying to find something, but I haven't actually gone out and looked for a course.
Right.
So it was more a case of, oh, let's go and have a find out. So a few conversations with Grant, and it turned out that a company called S&M Stuff hold airbrushing courses. They're based in Farnborough.
Okay.
And they do a beginner's course and an intermediate course. So I took the plunge, or my dad paid for it at the end of the day, because this is my birthday stroke Christmas present, and booked myself in for one. And it turned out it was a beginner's course. I didn't actually check that. But I was happy with that, because it was where I wanted to start. It would have been interesting if I'd gone on the intermediate course, because there would have been stuff I just wouldn't have known. So there you go. The course was $79.95, so it's quite pricey. And it's small. There's only four people on the course, and the instructor, whose name was or is Brian Best.
Did he go Gordon's Alive?
No, he didn't. That's Brian Blessed, isn't it?
Oh, I got confused, sorry.
And Brian runs a company called Anarchy Models, which we'll talk about later as well. So the course ran from 10 o'clock till 5.
All right, so you got that's 7 hours.
Yep. With lunch. Well, we didn't get
with lunch.
No, we didn't get lunch. We had to go out. Well, I bought my my Slimming World stuff with me anyway. I was doing a Lee Batrick impression as I got my Tesco's.
So you had you had carrot sticks and dip and peri peri chicken.
No, I had roast chicken legs and sweet peppers and some fruit.
Very good.
I was very good. But there's...
No, I was just going to say, 7 hours for seven... You know, you said it was pricey. That's only a tenner an hour.
No, that's right. In terms of... but you know what we're like. Anything over a tenner is just expensive to us.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Prices, don't we?
That is a fair point. Well made.
But I have some money, you know, so I thought I'm going to do it. And went there, got drove through a snowstorm to get there, would you believe, on the M3.
Okay.
Turned up. You got free teas and coffees all day. There's a chip shop round, and there's a Tesco's nearby. So if you're stuck for lunch, you can always pop out and buy something. Yep. And lunch was only half hour anyway. Very informal course. Brian, the guy who ran the course, really nice guy, seems to know a lot about airbrushing. He's actually an authorized dealer for Eyewater S&M stuff as well. We each had our own Eyewater airbrush to use with various accoutrements that go with it, you know, including the extractor booth. And a selection of Vallejo paints. We used solely Vallejo paints, which was quite interesting as well.
Okay. Vallejo Air or...?
I didn't actually look, but I don't think they were all Vallejo Air, because we were putting inks through it as well. We were putting Vallejo inks through it as well. So it was... One of the things that I really liked about it was that I learned something very, very quickly. And people may think I'm stupid, but they probably, you know, I don't really care. But within sort of half an hour of being on the course, the first thing I picked up was the lever on the airbrush. I had it in my head that because it's a dual action lever, it controls the airflow or the amount of air to be precise, as well as the paint. So I've been concentrating my hand coordination movements with the airbrush to try and depress this lever to control the amount of air coming out.
Right.
It's just an on-off switch for the air. So even though people were probably laughing at this point, I didn't know that. And it was like a huge light bulb moment. So all this sort of concentration and brain power, you know, through muscle memory and eye-hand coordination of trying to work this button was irrelevant, because it was literally you press down for the air to release, and the backwards motion is for the paint. Are you laughing yet?
No, because I thought the same as you.
So, PSI...
Mainly because you told me about how airbrushes work. So.
Yeah, so I told you wrong. So the air pressure itself comes from what you set...
The compressor.
Yeah, what you set the compressor to be at. And that is a constant pressure. Dependent on your setting. So, off we go. And the first thing that we do is we're given an A4 pad with some pieces of paper on with dots. And many people have probably seen this if you've done any sort of research into how to use an airbrush. But we went through a number of exercises, three exercises to be precise, which basically helped us control the airbrush. So the first thing was dotting dots on a piece of paper.
Okay.
So you... essentially controlling the amount of paint going onto that dot so you can build it up. But it was all about learning things like that. So, you know, a light amount of paint would create a faded dot, and you could build up on it. So you learnt about, you know, building up on it, and you could see it there happening as well. And you could also just whack the lever back and completely flood it, and then that's wrong, basically, because you end up with a load of paint on there just dripping all over the place. But less is more, because you can always go back and add and build and correct. So you learned that fairly quickly, and then we went on to a dot with a faded line, and something like that can be used for going onto rivets with, you know, rust or weathering leakage, you know.
Right, okay.
Which you don't even think about until you're told about it, in terms of the application. And then from there, we went to doing lines, which were faded lines faded out at either end with a slightly more concentrated amount of paint in the middle and faded out at the other end. And you're doing horizontal and vertical lines and reverse as well, so you're going left to right, right to left, up, down, down and up.
Right.
And that was the morning, pretty much.
Okay.
Stopped for lunch, carried on talking. The three other guys that were there, two of them were modellers. One guy was a nice chap who'd recently acquired an engine, a railway engine, one of those ones that you can sit on and pull people around on.
Oh, very cool.
And he wanted to spray that. So that's what he was learning about. But he was going to be using enamels, which Brian didn't actually have a lot of experience with in terms of the medium of enamels going through an airbrush. But, you know, a lot of the things that we learned could still be applied to the medium of an enamel as well.
Right.
And one of the guys sadly recognised my voice from boosted damage, though, so that was a good few years ago. But
and did you tell him where he can hear your voice now?
Yes, I did.
Good man.
I told him to go and listen to Fools Daily.
Excellent.
So once we did that, the afternoon was spent on stenciling and masking, and Brian, who, as I said before, runs a company called Anarchy Models, has kick-started a couple of projects through Kickstarter for masks. So these are what you and I would call stencils, but I believe in the airbrush world are called masks. So they are patterned pieces of plastic. They're very flexible, very durable. They can, you know, there's different types of ones. There's ones which are adhesive and ones which are not adhesive as well. And we were using those. So we were doing things like camo patterns. I did a couple of flames. I did some dragon scales as well. But you could take what you'd learned from the morning and use it, even though you were using stencils or masks, to apply the pattern. So when I was doing the dragon scales, I had a faded in and faded out effect on the dragon scales. But one of the things I did find is that the Iowata airbrushes have a completely different action to the H&S airbrush that I've got, which I did bring along with me and I got to use as well, but it was very noticeable there was a different action in terms of the lever control. But I think it's just getting used to it. But I do believe that if I ever invest in another airbrush, I'll probably go for an Iowata.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I believe is one that you've got, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got an Iowata, yeah.
But yeah, no, so we did that. I did some highlighting. Some of the guys were working on a drop bod. He's got some really interesting stencils, which, especially the camo things, but also it's all about the way you build up these colours in terms of, you know, something like a camo pattern, which may have three or four different types of patterns on it, whether it be the digital camo or whatever you're using. So you kind of learn about that as well, and the way you go about it. I did some flames, and I sort of built up colour to the top of the flames and was using some of the techniques from the basic stuff that we'd learned in the morning on the flames itself. And at the end of the day, we were playing about, but it started to make you realize what you could do with it. And once you'd learn that control sort of mechanism of the paint part of it, where you could go and use it afterwards. And one of the biggest things, another big thing that I learned was that he used what he called opaque paints for shading. So I asked him, what do you mean by opaque paints? You know, are these like translucent paints? And essentially they were Vallejo inks that he was using. He was putting them through neat into the airbrush to build up shadow.
Right.
And it was very, very effective because you could build up a shadow with an ink as light or as dark as you want, depending on how much paint you put onto it, with great effect. So I'm going to be using an airbrush to probably paint some a Gator Hordes force this year. So that was very useful for me to learn as well. And I may have picked up some inks as well.
May have.
I did. But yeah, things like the other things I picked up on were if you are using a particular manufacturer's paints, use the same thinner for that manufacturer's paint. So if you're using Vallejo, use Vallejo thinner, use Vallejo cleaner, because generally they're designed to work with that paint set. The question then does come in terms of what do you do if paint ranges don't have those, and it's just a case of see what works. Another tip that I learned was when mixing the paint in the pot, put your thinner in first. And I'm so used to putting the paint in first and then adding thinners or water or whatever afterwards. Put the thinner in first, then the paint, and then some more thinner. And I think the last thing that I sort of picked up on was there's no exact science on amounts of paint and thinner.
Right.
I seem to be using a lot more thinner and... Well, no, there was no exact science. You know, you see 3-1 or 50-50 or whatever. It's whatever works for you, I think. It was really a case of just suck it and see sort of thing.
Right, okay.
And the last thing was I don't know if you have this, Mike, when you paint a figure, you sort of look at it and you think, oh, it doesn't look good, and you leave it to dry and it looks absolutely perfect or fine in the morning.
Yeah.
I've got over that with painting in with a brush. I can get to a particular point and I know, even though it doesn't look good, my gut's saying that's enough, it will be fine. I have to get to that stage with airbrushing as well, because the amount of paint that you put on is so light that you don't see the effect. So as you build up more and more paint, you get to that stage where the paint is almost shining on there, and you have to leave it, and you've got to wait for it to dry to see. And you can always go back and do more, but you can't do less. So if you overdo it, it's a respray, as it were, you know, and start again. So do it slowly. And it doesn't take long for paint to dry from an airbrush. You know, you can use the air from the brush itself to dry the paint that's on a model as well. You just don't allow any air, paint to go through. You just allow the air to go through. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I came away very enthused about it. The guy who runs S&M stuff, I think his name's Sean, emailed me the templates that they use for practice, and basically every time I pick up the airbrush now, I'm just going to do some of those exercises just to get my hand back in before I actually put the paint on as well.
Oh, very cool.
So
you're going to share those, though, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Well, you know, it would be nice. It's coming up on the 1 year anniversary of getting my airbrush.
Well, I'm sure I'll be coming over to show you some of this stuff.
It would be nice to get some use out of it. One of the things that did you do any terrain painting or anything with it?
No, but the drop pods were the big 40K drop pods.
Right, okay.
And the guy was using shadowing, he was using camouflage masking on it as well. I could see a big, some of the stuff that I would use the airbrush for would be MDF buildings, I think, very much like yourself. Because I'm guessing that's what you want to use.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that disappointed me at the weekend was quality of terrain, I guess. I mean, don't get me wrong, the tables were still great. And this is my own collection, so it's me, I'm dissing myself. But it was MDF City.
Yeah.
And I'd like to take events, you know, my events to the next level and not have them MDF City, have them be beautifully painted city.
Well, Dave Brown, Cluso, puts a lot of effort into that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
And some of his MDF terrain, you know, like the train station and the ones where he's got all the shops, those sort of Western themed train boards look spectacular, I think. They look really, really good, especially when he's added signage and things like that.
Yeah, and that's the level that I want to get to. So I'm looking to the airbrush to help me do that.
I would suggest that you could apply colour very, very quickly onto those things.
I guess it's just a matter of taking the plunge. Now, the thing that you did tweet, though, you tweeted something that you went out and bought.
Yes, I went out and bought an extractor booth.
Right, so let me just... Yeah, we've got time to talk about an extractor booth, because we waffled at the beginning, so... What's an extractor booth?
An extractor booth is it's basically a box with an extractor fan in it at the back and a filter. So it sucks the air, it sucks the paint droplets that don't hit the model through the filter and out the back. You can attach a hose to it, which can go out to a hole in the wall or a window or whatever. But as the guy there, Brian, said, if the paint was getting through the filter, the back of the filter facing the wall of the area that we were painting in would have paint on it. So clearly it hadn't got to the stage where the paint had got through the filter.
Right, so there's an extractor, fan in the booth which has a filter in it, and so the filter is catching the spare droplets of of paint, etc.
So,
and I suppose that's a disposable item and you put a new filter
in it. Yeah, so one of the things I'm going to do today, which is just talking about it, has reminded me, is I'm going to buy a spare filter because when you want one, you don't have one. Or they've gone out of, you know, they don't manufacture that anymore or anything like that.
Okay, and so what's the size of this thing?
The size is 16 and a half inches wide by,
you can hear the
tape. You can hear the tape. 8 inches tall by 6 inches deep.
Oh, right, so you can get a decent size.
But when you open it up...
Oh, that's closed, is it? Okay.
When you open it up, as he does now, and breaks it, because this thing is designed to be just stowed away. So it's, you know, like the Foldio or anything like that?
Yeah.
It all sort of fits together like that. So it all folds back on itself and forms one side of the box.
So is it made of plastic?
It's made of a clear translucent plastic, white translucent plastic, so it will let light in. It comes with a Lazy Susan round turntable thing as well.
This sounds really awesome. I didn't even know they made such things.
Oh, didn't you?
No, I'd been saving cardboard boxes to start.
I've been using cardboard boxes, and the biggest problem I have with cardboard boxes is it doesn't let light in. So having used this, and I'd looked at them before on eBay, and I'd seen them for 30 quid, 50 quid, 70 quid. But when you add in postage, P&P, you're adding another 10 or 20 quid on. So I thought, I'm going to buy it now. It was £78. Because I was on the course, I got a 5% discount. So when you open it up, it increases the length by to 19 inches, pretty much. So it goes from 5.5-6 inches wide to 19. And the actual spraying area where you would put a model is 15 by 16. It sort of thought, I mean, I did tweet the pictures of it open and shut.
Yeah.
And it's really compact, and the lead sort of, it's, you know, they used to have them on Hoovers and things like that. It sucks the lead up sort of thing on it. It's on a thing that winds it up sort of thing back into the box. So it all sort of hides away. You don't have the electric plug sticking out as sometimes you do on electrical appliances.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it was well worth it.
So, who's the manufacturer of yours?
It's a Model HS E420K, and it's made by... Can hear it. I cannot see a manufacturer's name on it anywhere.
Because I just searched on Amazon.
Does it have anything written on it? No, can't see anything on here.
And I can't see a folding airbrush booth. I can see loads of airbrush booths.
Look on eBay, you'll see them.
Okay. See, I want one now. Because this sounds perfect.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, I won't need to wear a mask anymore, which is a real inconvenience when you have to wear reading glasses to spray.
Right, okay.
So, I think it was a worthwhile investment.
Oh, there's okay. So there's loads on. All right. So I've looked on. I've just looked on. eBay. You're right. There are loads. But I like the fact that yours collapses into this little box. So I don't know which one to get.
Well, you could go direct to S&M Stuff and buy it.
S and M. All right. S and M stuff. The UK specialist from. See, we're not even sponsored by them. That's snmstuff.com. .co.uk, sorry. Right. Airbrushes.
But we learned how to clean the airbrush as well, which I knew, but in between paints, in between colours, I was using too much thinner, and you only use a little bit in there. You sluice out with water first, wipe the inside cup, bit of thinner in back, flush it by putting your finger over the end, and that pushes the air back in through the airbrush and up through the pot, so flushes out the paint in that system, and then you spray that into your spray bottle thing, you know, that you which is covered. But I've been using way too much thinner.
All right. Okay, you said it was an HSE 420K. Oh, I have one. I found it for £78. And now I know what it looks like. I can look at it on Amazon and I can see exactly the same one.
Exactly right, yes. Probably for a little bit cheaper, I'm guessing.
Oh, and if I buy this one, I can get it by tomorrow on Prime as well. So I don't even have to spend any.
And we got to lubes, understand what lube's for and things like that. Because you had some lube, and I thought, oh, I don't know what that's for. It's to lube one part of the needle, the ones that bit the part of the needle that goes through the O-rings. You don't actually lube the front end, the actual needle, pointy, sharpy bit.
Right, okay.
You lube the bit that goes through the O-rings,
Okay.
and you do that right at the end when you've finished everything, and you don't use a lot of it.
E420 airbrushing spray booth and extractor set with hose, low noise, perfect for artwork, hobby and craft market, nails, models, ceramics, and other small crafts and parts. This looks exactly the same as your one.
There you go.
Right. I'll have it tomorrow.
It collapse? It does collapse, doesn't it?
It does collapse. No, it's the same one.
Hey.
It is the same one that you have, because you can click through the fingers and you can see the collapse thing. Oh, and it's mains power as well.
Yes.
That's even better.
Learned about moisture
Well,
traps, how to clean them out, how to get rid of the moisture.
oh shit, I don't care now. I'm so excited that I've got one of these things coming. And I'm going to be a cool kid like you.
You could potentially use it as a photo booth, I reckon, as well, because if you put light through it, it's going to spread it and diffuse it.
Yeah, but I don't think you need the hose running for
No.
that.
Or the extractor for it. But there you go. We've probably run very long now.
We probably
If
have.
you got the money, well worth it. I enjoyed it.
Cool. I'll let you teach me.
Or you could let me teach you.
Yeah. It won't be as good, but it will probably be more entertaining.
I can do your nails if you want.
Oh, that'd be lovely, mate. Right. On that wonderful note, it gives far too much insight into Conrad's and my life. I've been Mike.
And I've been Conrad. Goodbye.
Bye bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.